The Truth News Network. Uncertain about what you see and hear in mainstream media? Worried about getting the truth? No worries anymore. Get the truth, only the truth, at TNN, the Truth News Network. Here's your host, Dan Newman.
Let me first apologize for yesterday. I got very emotional when we were getting into the discussion and going through the discussion about the three amigos, those three that are obviously lined up to attack President Trump and end his presidency one way or the other. And I got all emotional. And I got to be honest with you, it really tore me up thinking about what could possibly happen. We'll talk about that at the end of today's show. But that prompted the subject of today's show. The title is, Mueller's Evil is Not Exclusive. By now, you know a lot about Special Counsel Robert Mueller and his past. You've watched with me as the Trump-Russia investigation has virtually gone nowhere now about 20 months. Yes, there have been indictments, but not of anyone or anything related to the 2016 election tampering that was alleged between the Russians and members of the Trump campaign. But Mueller does not give up. And he has a lapdog that owns a past in legal prosecutions that is more vicious and dogged than that of Mueller. His name, Andrew Weissmann. Let's meet today, Mr. Weissmann. Who is he? FBI Director Christopher Wray was an assistant attorney general in 2004 when he heaped praise on an ambitious mafia-tested prosecutor while promoting him to the top of the Justice Department's high-profile Enron task force. Wray specifically praised Andrew Weissmann for getting convictions against two Enron clients, accounting giant Arthur Anderson and executives at banking dynamo Merrill Lynch. Anderson was finished as a company. In fact, this investigation destroyed that company, putting 10,000 people out of work. Four Merrill executives went to prison. Today, Weissmann stands as Special Counsel Robert Mueller's top gun in a squadron of nearly 20 prosecutors and scores of FBI agents delving into Trump Russia. Mr. Weissmann is leading the probe into the biggest target to date, Paul Manafort, President Trump's one-time campaign manager. We'll tell you exactly how that all began a little bit later. How Weissmann operated over a decade ago offers possible glimpses at how he carries out orders today from his longtime mentor, Robert Mueller. So now we've got four amigos, not just three. Weissmann went to Texas from New York City in 2002, fresh from putting a number of mafiosos in prison. By the time he left Houston in 2005, he had rung up some impressive numbers, such as 22 guilty pleas and millions of dollars in restitution there. But he also suffered historic courtroom losses, and how he won and how he lost is still the subject of bitter comments from his adversaries in Houston. Do not misunderstand my disdain for him with ineffectiveness or something not to be concerned with, said Dan Cogdell, who represented three of those Enron Corporation defendants. He continued, he's a formidable prosecutor. If I'm Donald Trump and I know the backstory of Andrew Weissmann, it's going to concern me. There is no question about it. That backstory? Defense attorneys say Weissmann bent or broke the rules in Houston. As proof, they point to appeals court decisions, court exhibits, and witness statements. They say he intimidated witnesses by threatening indictments, created crimes that did not exist, and in one case, withheld evidence that could have aided the accused. At one hearing, an incredulous district judge looked down at an Enron defendant and told him he was pleading guilty to a wire fraud crime that did not exist. Weissmann seemed more interested in obtaining convictions than in promoting justice, said Tom Kirkendall, a Houston lawyer who represented an Enron executive. Those convictions for which FBI Director Wray offered praise in 2004, well, Wiseman's cases against Anderson and Merrill Lynch lay in shambles just a few years later. The Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, in a 9-0 vote, overturned the Arthur Anderson conviction. A year later, the Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans erased all the fraud convictions against 4 Merrill Lynch managers, and the jury had acquitted already another defendant. Those 4 Merrill Lynch managers had spent a year in prison because of that conviction before that case was overturned by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. People went off to prison for a completely phantom of a case. Kuykendall, that lawyer, became sort of an unofficial Enron historian. He observed goings-on at the Houston Federal Courthouse, and he blogged about what he considered a systematic miscarriage of justice. The task force, which ultimately would catapult prosecutors to lucrative careers, we'll tell you about that in a minute, wanted to win as many convictions as possible. They were prosecuting players in one of the nation's biggest corporate scandals. Enron bosses falsified balance sheets, inflated earnings, and traded stocks with insider knowledge. By 2001, the mega company went bankrupt. Its stock was worthless. The Justice Department task force mobilized in 2002 and quickly started winning convictions. But there were dark sides. That's where Sidney Powell enters the picture. The Dallas lawyer took the appeal of a Merrill Lynch figure. She obtained from justice a batch of task force documents that should have been disclosed to trial attorneys years earlier. But because of Weissman, they were not. Justice prosecutors not connected to the Enron task force deliberately withheld evidence favorable to her client, Stevens. A judge threw out his conviction. Powell wrote a 2014 book about the scandals titled License to Lie, Exposing Corruption in the Department of Justice. All of the cases Weissman pushed to trial were reversed in whole or in part due to some form of his overreaching and abuses, Powell said. The most polite thing the Houston Bar Association said about Weissman was that he was a madman. It probably will come as no surprise that the special counsel's office declined to comment about Weissman's track record. However, the Justice Department in 2012 and 2013 defended him against ethics complaints and concluded he did not violate the rules. Go figure that. He didn't violate the rules, but the Supreme Court overruled one of his convictions 9-0. And 4 Merrill Lynch guys that he sent to prison, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals overturned that conviction because of what Weissman did in the trial and let the guys out. Let's look at Arthur Anderson. Arthur Anderson was a huge accounting firm, been around for decades, thousands of employees, over 20,000 employees. Anderson stood as one of the country's most prominent corporate auditing firms. The Securities and Exchange Commission began investigating Enron, who was an Arthur Anderson client. Auditors started destroying documents. Weissman took the lead in prosecuting Anderson for obstruction of justice in 2002. Anderson's defense? It followed company policy on when to destroy confidential material. Convicted at trial of fatally damaged, Arthur Anderson appealed. The Supreme Court eventually took the case, and in 2005, the nation's highest court overturned the conviction 9-0. A devastating judgment that shattered Weissman's showcase. Chief Justice William Rehnquist wrote the opinion solo, a message of just how seriously the High Court took the breach of ethics and legal practices. In essence, Rehnquist said the prosecutor sold the presiding judge on jury instructions that assured a conviction. Quote, "Indeed, it is striking how little culpability the instructions required," Chief Justice Rehnquist wrote. For example, the jury was told that even if Arthur Anderson honestly and sincerely believed that its conduct was lawful, you may find Anderson guilty. The instructions also diluted the meaning of corruptly so that it covered innocent conduct. Rehnquist wrote that the government, Weissman, insisted over defense objections that the word dishonestly be excluded from the instructions and that the word impede be added. The Chief Justice went to the dictionary, read the meaning of impede, and concluded it was such innocent conduct for someone to impede the government. According to Attorney Powell, Weissman indicted them for conduct that was not criminal, and he took criminal intent out of the jury instructions that he then persuaded the judge to give. With a lack of sustaining clients, a mortally wounded Arthur Andersen firm put out a statement. We are very pleased with the Supreme Court's decision, which acknowledges the fundamental injustice that has been done to Arthur Andersen and its former personnel and retirees. Remember, they went out of business. In the end, the George W. Bush Justice Department put out of business a thriving accounting firm whose actions could have been handled in other ways short of felony charges. The pain? 10,000 of those Arthur Andersen employees were put on the street without jobs by an over-aggressive prosecutor. This is incredible, folks, and it gets even deeper and deeper. We're going to get back to part two of this. We'll look at Merrill Lynch and what went on there. Sit tight. I told you it was going to be a ride, and it is, at the Truth News Network.
As a retired teacher, I look for ways to save money for the things I love, like traveling the world. Medicare plans change each year. Fortunately, my HealthMart pharmacist helped me understand my insurance, saving me money on prescriptions. And they can help you too. My pharmacist cares about my health and the things I love, whatever that might be.
HealthMart, caring for you and about you. Visit HealthMart.com for the locally owned pharmacy near you.
If your toddler falls in the pool, you think you'll hear this. But what you'll really hear is this. It happens quickly and silently. About 260 children younger than 5 drown in pools each year. That's about 1 nursery school class each month. Put a fence around your pool. Place an alarm on doors leading to the pool area. For more pool safety tips, visit the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission website at cpsc.gov.
Clarity of thought, clarity of vision, clarity of message.
TruthNewsNet.org.
Again, Dan Newman.
I cannot believe how deep this is and how ridiculous this prosecution is. Let's get right back to it. Regarding Merrill Lynch, it became known as the Nigerian barge case. Weissman induced indictments in 2003 against 4 Merrill Lynch executives, an Enron vice president, and an Enron accountant. He contended that Merrill and Enron entered into a sham transaction in 1999. The banker would buy 3 Enron barge-mounted power generators for $7 million, purely to boost the Houston company's balance sheet, and then Enron would buy them back at a profit. They were charged under a federal statute that normally requires proof that someone paid a bribe or received kickbacks that denigrated the business practices of honest services. There were no bribes, and there were no kickbacks. 5 were convicted. The accountant, represented by Cogdell, heard the jury say, not guilty. He was the only one that was prosecuted by Weissman that got off. 4 of them appealed while serving time in prison. In 2006, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals reversed all the fraud charges, leaving just a perjury conviction against one executive whom Powell came to represent on appeal. Again, the problem for Weissman was his definition of a crime that greatly relaxed the standard for convictions. We reversed the conspiracy and wire fraud convictions of each of the defendants on the legal ground that the government's, Weissman's task force, theory of fraud relating to the deprivation of honest services is flawed. That was according to the appeals court. The opinion said the scheme may have been unethical, but did not violate federal fraud laws. The court said that not all corporate fiduciary lapses are tantamount to crimes. Attorney Kirkendall said the Enron trials in Houston were held in a highly inflamed environment. The task force took advantage of that and convicted these men, he said. What it caused them and their families, you can just imagine. The government, did not retry the five on fraud charges. And there's more. What the Merrill defense attorneys did not know during the trial was this. There were favorable witness statements that the prosecution withheld. In other words, Mr. Weissman held some facts. In 2010, Justice began releasing confidential Enron task force documents. They showed that Weissman's team provided misleading summaries at the trial of raw witness statements to the FBI and to the grand jury. The disconnect became an issue in the appeal of Attorney Powell's client, Merrill executive James Brown, in the Nigerian barge case. Although his fraud conviction went away, the perjury charge and conviction stuck. Powell was particularly struck by this. The government summary said a witness, Enron's Jeffrey McMahon, does not recall a barge buyback agreement. In his actual interview, he said there was no deal. The prosecution badly distorted what he had said, depriving trial attorneys of information that could persuade a jury to acquit. Mr. McMahon was under threat of indictment and did not testify, or they could have got the truth. The Fifth Circuit agreed to a point. Quote, favorable information was plainly suppressed from McMahon's notes, the court wrote. The McMahon notes contain numerous passages that unequivocally state that it was McMahon's understanding that there was only a best efforts agreement and no promise, whereas the government's disclosure letter says only that McMahon does not recall a guaranteed buyback. It's kind of like, you know, half-truth. Even worse, the document showed that Weissman's team yellow highlighted favorable information that it deliberately withheld from its summaries presented in court. Yet the appeals court did not throw out the perjury conviction. It said the prosecution flaw was not material. Let's move on. When the task force brought indictments in July of 2004 against the big cheese in the Enron saga, that was Kenneth Lay. He was the one that was all over the news. Also his buddy Jeffrey Skilling and Richard Cause, defense attorneys learned that Weissman had done something even more far-reaching. In a sealed court document, he named 114 unindicted co-conspirators. Defense attorney Kirkendall did some research. He found that it was by far the largest number of such targeted people in the history of federally prosecuted white collar crimes. 114 unindicted co-conspirators. Defendants at trial hoped that some Enron executives would testify on their behalf, but those hopes collapsed, and guess why? Of that list of 114 unindicted co-conspirators, there were a lot of potential witnesses that could have cleared these defendants. Chilling effect, my ASS, said Attorney Cogdell. It was Ice Station Zebra. No one in their right mind, none of the 114, would do anything that would upset the task force, specifically Weissman. They did not want to become indicted co-conspirators. It was evident. Weissman made the list for that exact purpose, to scare potential witnesses. And then fast forward to today. Justice Department press releases in the 2000s would tout the number 30 as an over 30 people charged in the Enron saga. They're bragging about it, bragging about Weissman. But final conviction count is short that number, given that appeals courts eviscerated two major cases, the Merrill Lynch and the Arthur Anderson cases, while juries acquitted two people and partially acquitted others, and two were allowed to withdraw guilty pleas. In all, 22 pleaded guilty and four trial convictions stuck. Afterwards, some task force prosecutors rose to significant government jobs. Go figure. Weissman joined Robert Mueller at the FBI. Then he arrived at a powerhouse New York law firm as a white-collar crime defense specialist. He returned to the FBI as Mr. Mueller's general counsel and later was appointed by the Obama administration as chief of justice's fraud unit in Washington. FBI Director Christopher Wray, the Justice Department Assistant Attorney General, who named him Task Force Chief a decade ago, is now supplying Weissman with the FBI manpower he needs to pursue Trump Russia. Catherine Rumler prosecuted both the Merrill defendants and Lay Skilling Years later, she emerged in the prestigious post of White House counsel to President Obama. Lisa Monaco, another task force prosecutor, stayed in justice, was Mueller's chief of staff, and then went to the Obama White House as the president's top counterterrorism advisor. She later joined CNN as an analyst this year. Weissman has become Mueller's bulldog in the Trump-Russia investigation. I probably don't need to tell you this, but he is arrogant, he's forceful, he's demanding, and sometimes even cruel. Listen to this. He spearheaded the pre-dawn raid of Manafort's home. Agents broke through the front door with no notice, startled Manafort and his wife in bed, scared them to death, ransacked their house, damaging much in the way of furniture and fixtures, while they took all kinds of things, truckloads of records and other things from the home. These tactics are never used by law enforcement in white-collar crime cases. No one can remember federal tactics like these being taken. As is his norm, Weissman, by taking this approach, sent messages to all those surrounding President Trump that this investigation was and is brutal, far-reaching, and that Weissman has carte blanche from Mueller to use whatever tactics in this investigation he chooses to use. Plain and simple, Andrew Weissman is an evil guy who thrives on power over others. Even though he has sworn to uphold the laws of the United States, he does almost anything and everything he needs to prevail in every case in which he's involved as a prosecutor. And he does so with total disregard for the law or the fact that his perverting the law for his purposes has in the past destroyed the lives of innocent Americans. Yes, he sent guilty people to jail, no doubt about it. But his actions in the Enron and Merrill Lynch and Arthur Anderson matters destroyed the lives of thousands of Americans. Can you imagine being an auditor in one of the largest accounting firms on earth, Arthur Anderson, and being told one day, just one day, 10,000 of you, you don't have a job anymore? How do you go find an equivalent job overnight? People not only lost their jobs in Arthur Anderson, they lost their homes. They lost marriages. It's unbelievable what this man did. Even though those cases were overturned respectively by the U.S. Supreme Court and the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, people had already served time in prison, folks. Lost jobs. Arthur Anderson out of business, costing thousands of people, investors, stockholders, millions of dollars. You cannot put the genie back in the bottle. The question of the day regarding the current Trump-Russia investigation pertaining to the actions of Weissman is this. To what lengths is Weissman willing to go to get the president? Remember this. He was in the tank for Hillary Clinton. He was at that famous post-election meeting in which Hillary was supposed to declare herself the gladiator of the day, defeating Donald Trump. He stood there in the Chavez Center in New York City with tears in his eyes because his hero had been defeated. Is Weissman so bent on prevailing in action against the president that he is willing to employ the same or similar tactics as he employed in Houston? That, my friends, is the question of the day. And that, in tandem with yesterday's story about the three amigos, is why your host here has been so upset. This has all got to stop. It's crazy. It's driving all of us nuts. Hey, listen, thank you so much for being a part of the Truth News Network family. Thanks for being here every day. Do this. Share this podcast with your friends. Just download it and email it to your friends or give them the email to the story. And be back tomorrow. We got a whole lot more. It's getting hotter here at the Truth News Network. Thanks so much. Have a great day, everybody. See you soon.
Undeniably the go-to source for nonpartisan, spin-free news from the world.
Real truth, real news. TNN, the Truth News Network.